Welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, more land, more sports. We got myself today, Vincent Moreland. I'm just going to discuss some things about week one, talk about like my biggest surprises and whatnot, and some of my biggest takes from week one and whatnot. And then I will make my game predictions for week two for all 16 games that starts this Thursday with the Chiefs and the Chargers, and the games that'll go all the way up until Monday night. So enjoy the show, guys. And welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, more land, more sports. It is I, Vincent Moreland, your host for the show today. We got a decent episode. No guests today. It's just going to be me. As I'm going through a teeth procedure tomorrow. It is Tuesday doing this podcast. Normally, when I'm going to do these podcasts, I'm going to do them on Thursday nights after my league night of bowling. So usually I'll release every episode Friday morning so I can have my predictions out for week three, except for, Thursday night games, even though I'll put down what my predictions would be for Thursday night. But, this week I had to do it a little bit earlier because I'm going to have four teeth pulled tomorrow and I'm not really going to feel like doing a whole bunch of talking. So just going to get my podcast done tonight. Like I said in last week's episode, I'm going to try to be a little bit more consistent than I was last year and try to do an episode or two every week to, mainly talk about football. But mainly I could talk about like MLB playoffs and the start of the NBA and NHL and whatnot as well. So let's get started here. So I went to the New York Jets game. The Baltimore Ravens were in town, so I decided to make a road trip up there. Me and my friend were able to go up there. We left at around 6 o'clock in the morning. Got up there around 9:30. Had to make a stop and whatnot. Grab some food. And, we found out a place to park and whatnot, and then everybody was just outside tailgating. It was a good time meeting other Ravens fans, from Montgomery County, meeting some from Frederick County. So it was pretty nice for real. I really enjoyed my time out there and whatnot. Something to take away from that game was, the Ravens were a little lackluster on offense at first. What I really liked was the big play to Bateman and what looked like was a busted coverage. But I really enjoyed seeing Devin Duvernay make catches. Apparently, he made a catch where the separation, it was like the thinnest amount of separation that a receiver could have had. So, like, it was a perfect coverage by the DB, but it was just a better throw and a better catch made by Duvernay in the end zone. So, that's good to hear that Duvernay made. Really impressive stat that, you probably wouldn't think, from the likes of Lamar Jackson, someone who's been deemed as like an inaccurate passer and whatnot. And, Devin Duvernay, who's not really seen as like your average wide receiver, he can be seen as a below average wide receiver in terms of like, his production and whatnot. He's only had two touchdowns his first 2 years. He's already matched that total in his first game this year. In a year where he's probably going to be wide receiver three for the most part, maybe wide receiver two if he keeps picking this up. Definitely behind Bateman, but he'll probably be behind DeMarcus Robinson for most of the year, as Robinson has had more experience in the league and also he's had championship experience as well. So I'm very excited. I was very impressed with the defense and whatnot, even though they gave up over 300 yards passing. But I mean, when you throw the ball 59 times, you should have at least that many yards passing. Only I believe it was 10 points given up. One was a garbage time touchdown. It didn't really matter. Unfortunately, we lost Juwan James, backup left tackle for the season, due to a torn Achilles. It's his second one in the past 16 months. Trust me, I know what it's like to have the same injury in such a short span. I've torn both of my ACLs in an 18-month span. It is not fun. When you come back from that injury once, you think, you're ready to go. And then, when it happens to you again, it's like, What the hell, man? I can't catch a break. And then Kyle Fuller, in his first season in Baltimore, kid from Baltimore, not necessarily a kid, he's a veteran, but, you know, his first game as a Raven, he tears his ACL off of a push-off by Elijah Moore. And unfortunately, it was in pretty much garbage time, less than 2 minutes left. You're down 21. You know, a comeback is virtually impossible, you know, less than 2 minutes left, down 21. But unfortunately, you know, Kyle Fuller tore his ACL, and now it's his first time missing a game. He's been healthy his entire career. In this first game ever with us, he tears his ACL, and now we're not going to see him for the rest of the year. We might not ever see him play in a Ravens uniform again, as we only signed him to, I believe it was only a one-year deal. So, very unfortunate, and it sucks because, you know, Marcus Peters is already out because he's recovering from a torn ACL himself. So now you need, you know, Pepe Williams, Damarian Williams, to step it up now with Marlon Humphrey on the outside until Marcus Peters comes back. You know, Jalen Armour Davis, you know, if he's going to get any bump or not, it's going to suck. And, you know, with that happening, we'll probably have Brandon Stevens in more often as well. We'll probably see, you know, the likes of more safety packages, you know, more nickel and dime packages that will have, you know, Hamilton, Chuck Clark, and Marcus Williams out there, rather than seeing, like, you know, your typical, you know, nickel slot corner, because, you know, you feel like you have more trust in your safeties than maybe your third and fourth string corners. But anyway, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully all goes well, and hopefully, you know, Marcus Peters, J.K. Dobbins, and Ronnie Stanley comes back, because when those three come back, your offensive line gets better, your backfield gets better, your running game gets better. You know, you have to watch out for J.K. Dobbins, and you have to worry about Lamar, where you don't really have to worry about Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis and Justice Hill as much. And then, you know, the secondary gets better when Marcus Peters comes back. You know, former All-Pro and whatnot, former league leader in interceptions. 1 year, I believe it was his rookie year. Anyway, you know, the defense will get better, the O-line will get better, and, you know, the offense in general will get better with those three guys back. So hopefully they'll be back by, like, week four when we play Buffalo and start, like, the really hard stretch of the schedule with Buffalo and Cincinnati. Those back-to-back games are going to be really tough and whatnot. My biggest surprise of the week, you know, there was a lot of games that I bet on this weekend that I thought for sure were locks. Boy, oh boy, was I wrong. And I'm going to start with the freaking Denver Broncos. How the hell do you lose that game? All that hype, you know, Russell Wilson's going back to Seattle, to play against his former team. He's probably beaten every team in the league. Except for the Seahawks. I don't know if that's accurate or not. He's been in the league for about 10 years, so he's only played most of the AFC teams twice or maybe three times. But basically, how do you lose that game? You know, now it wasn't all Russ's fault. It doesn't help when both of your running backs fumble at the goal line on two different possessions. And not only do they fumble, but they lose it. You know, they don't get a chance to try to score again after that. So that's ridiculous. Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. So, you know, those two don't score. And Geno Smith played really well. And the Broncos defense didn't look like the Broncos defense, at least in the first half. You know, the first half, they looked kind of bad. But in the second half, they kind of started strapping up and whatnot. But unfortunately, it just wasn't enough. And then McManus having to kick a 64-yard field goal. Instead of, you know, giving Russell Wilson a chance on 4th and 5 to try to get a 4th down conversion and try to get, you know, your offense a little bit closer in the field goal range and then make it probably more attainable field goal. Didn't work out. Seattle ends up getting the last laugh right now. I guess the only way you can say that Denver gets the last laugh is that they win a Super Bowl. I was surprised that Russell was... Well, I guess I wasn't really that surprised he was booed. Someone was telling me about how he was getting booed, and I kind of said, as he should, because, you know, the way he left was kind of not necessarily on good terms. Now, I agree, they should kind of be fortunate, you know, that he won a Super Bowl. You know, those fans should be fortunate that he won a Super Bowl with them, and also, you know, they lost the Super Bowl with him as well. You know, they've been perennial contenders for around, like, you know, nine, maybe 8 or 9 years that he was there, you know, ever since his rookie year. You know, he's been really good for them. So, you know, not much in the recent past, though. You know, we saw his most recent year in Seattle. He wasn't all that good, and the team wasn't all that good. So those boys in Seattle were fired up. I think this was probably the game that they're looking forward to the most, probably more than any of their division games, honestly. You know, I'd love to see the Seahawks have some success, but I still don't think it's going to happen. I still think they're going to be a top three team in this year's draft. I really don't think they're that good. I think they just had some extra motivation today and whatnot. So I'll go to the Bengals next. I'm actually very disappointed in them because I had money on them. I thought they were for sure lock, even without T. Higgins being hurt. Like, you guys are the Super Bowl runner-ups, and you lose to the Steelers your first game of the year. I get it. But you had Mixon, you had Jamar, you had Joe Burrow, Mr. Five Turnovers, but nobody wants to talk about that. They only want to talk about certain players getting that many turnovers. Lamar Jackson. You know, Mr. Joe Cool, Mr. Joe Burrow had five turnovers on Sunday. Not ideal. He's not going to do that every week. He's not Nathan Peterman. Those are Nathan Peterman numbers. Burrow still, I think he had over 300 yards and whatnot, but still a very disappointing display from him. And Evan McPherson not being able to get kicks to win the game multiple times. Apparently, like, you know, let's blame it on the high snapper, but or the long snapper with the high snaps, but I don't know, man. You gotta win that game if you're Cincinnati. It shouldn't have even came down to that, honestly. And then I'm really surprised at the Colts, but I guess that's what happens when you bring a new quarterback to the, you know. We saw a lot of teams debut their new quarterbacks, and a lot of them lost. Russell Wilson lost. Mitchell Trubisky, he won. Matt Ryan lost. Or actually, they tied, but they should have won that game. That's a loss in my book. I'm sorry. You can't tie with Houston, man. But it's the Colts. You know, they seem to not be able to do well against division opponents. We saw that last year with the Houston Texans. Marcus Mariota lost his first game with Atlanta. Very close, but they blew it. Russell Wilson lost his first game with the new team. Carson Wentz won his first game with the new team. Baker Mayfield lost his first game with the new team. Jacoby Brissett. A lot of new quarterbacks. I'm also surprised that Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers lost to the Cleveland Browns. I thought that was going to be a revenge game for Baker, kind of like with Russell Wilson in Denver, but that didn't work out. Tennessee lost to the New York Giants. I know you lost A.J. Brown, but you still have a top three running back on your team, and Derrick Henry. You have Robert Woods. You had the new rookie receiver, Treylon Burks, and it's Daniel Jones, guys. Come on. And then, you know, Ryan Succop just could not. Was it Ryan Succop? Oh, man. I think it was Randy Bullock, and just couldn't win the game, and, you know, at the end of the game and whatnot. So very disappointing. And then, you know, Philadelphia, that game was closer than it probably should have been. That messed up the spread for a lot of people. I was surprised that Minnesota won by as many points as they did. They kind of won in a dominating fashion. Very disappointed in Aaron Rodgers, as he was on my fantasy team in two leagues. I'll tell you what, I stuck up to join in fantasy. I had Najee, Alvin Kamara, T. Higgins, and Aaron Rodgers on multiple teams, and Trey Lance. So you know how that went. And speaking of which, I'm kind of surprised with the 49ers losing. However, it was a monsoon out there in Chicago, so, you know, I'll let them play on the West Coast a few times. I let them play in the domes and not in a freaking hurricane, freaking tsunami out there. And then let's see what happens, how Trey Lance can play with, you know, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle if he comes back. Guy always seems to get hurt all the time. And, you know, you're going to have Jeff Wilson Jr. in the backfield with Elijah Mitchell being out for quite a while. That's pretty much my takes from week one that I really, really wanted to address. Oh my God, at the Jets game, people were fighting. It was Jets fans fighting Jets fans. And, you know, when your team's so bad, you have nothing else to really fight for. Apparently, there was this one guy who tried to shake this Jets fan's hand. He was getting really mad. He looked like one of them. He looked like one of them, like, kids that just, you know, just, I'm not going to be mean on here, but, like, he just, you know, he was just really upset. He was giving us the double bird when me and, like, all the Ravens fans in our section were cheering. All the Ravens fans were fairly close to each other in my section. Like, we were literally, like, right behind each other. It was actually really crazy. It was, like, a whole row of Ravens fans behind us and Ravens fans behind them. So it was really nice. The guy turns around, just gives us the middle finger. And one of the Ravens fans in a few rows beneath us or below us tried to talk to him. And apparently, the Jets fans told him, "I'd rather slit my wrist than shake your hand." Like, it is not that deep. It seriously, you'd rather slit your own wrist than shake the hand of an opposing fan. It's not even a Patriots fan. It's not even a Bills fan. We don't play the Jets every year. We only played the Jets this year because we sucked last year. Well, actually, that's not true. We would have played the AFC East anyway, but last place schedule, we still would have played the Jets this year, no matter which division we would have played in the AFC. But the point of the story is, like, no matter what fan it is, you ain't got to say you'd rather slit your wrist than shake someone's hand because they're rooting for another team. You know, a lot of us drove hours up, you know. You guys aren't good. You guys haven't been good for who knows how long. I get it. It's miserable having a football team that loses every year. Trust me, I'm an Orioles fan. Instead of watching my team lose, you know, 12 to 15 times a year, I got to watch them lose 100 times a year. But yeah, that's quite a wild statement. He was the Ravens fan. When he was talking to us, he kind of said something that I thought was really funny, talking about we'll say it in a clean way, saying that Jets fan gets no women, and we'll go with that terminology. And then the group fight that happened, you know, about 20 rows below us was the entertaining part of the fourth quarter as the game was already out of reach. And, yeah, nothing like being at a road game, man. I'll tell you what, being a road fan is so much more fun than being a home fan because it's like, you know, you're like in the minority. You're like, you and the few others that are around you are cheering and it's just pissing off everyone. And they can't. As long as you're not talking shit to them or saying anything personal to the other team's fans, then it's okay. And then, like, with Flacco, you know, I was like, hey, Flacco, these Jets fans don't appreciate you. We appreciate you. And, the Jets fans were getting mad. And this one Jets fan, he told me that our defense carried Joe Flacco in that Super Bowl year. I'm like, buddy. This was Ray Lewis's last year. This was Ed Reed's. This is one of Ed Reed's like last like good years in the league before he played for the Jets and the Texans. Like, come on now. I just thought that was funny as shit. Because he was like, Baltimore won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. Why does nobody talk about him? Like, are you kidding me right now, buddy? And this guy, he's got gray hair in his beard. He's definitely like 40, 50 years old. Like, Trent Dilfer, I'm 2 years old. I was 2 years old when we won that Super Bowl. And I know damn well Trent Dilfer was not good. That defense was actually good. Our defense in the year that Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl was not that good. We were shit. We were 9-7 that year. We weren't even supposed to go to the playoffs. We were down 4th-29 against the San Diego Chargers. If we don't make that first down to win that game, we don't go to the playoffs. We don't. So, the defense was okay. I mean, they weren't that good. You know, they stepped up when they needed to at times, but they weren't that good. Joe Flacco, you know, had one of the greatest postseason runs as a quarterback in history. You know, that game against the Colts, you know, he had some good some good touchdowns. The game against Denver, we gave up 35, but, you know, he put up 38. Well, actually, the defense had a pick six that game. I remember that, Corey Graham. But still, Flacco made some really nice throws to Torrey Smith. Really nice throw to Jacoby Jones. Flacco, he did pretty well in the Super Bowl. That was probably the best defensive game the defense had against the Patriots in the AFC Championship. And then Flacco, like, lit it up in the Super Bowl, man. So, I'm always going to appreciate Joe Flacco for his time here. We were always a perennial playoff team. I always had trust in him. You know, we probably should have been back-to-back Super Bowl champions when he was here. The defense was better the year before when we were 12-4 in 2011. But 2012, going into 2013, we weren't that good in terms of defense. We had really good players, but, you know, that defense wasn't as good as the 2000 Ravens defense. I don't know why he even compared them in the first place. Nobody cares about Trent Dilfer. I'm sorry. Seems like a good guy, but no. And yeah, that's pretty much like my recap of like the the Jets game, my experiences there. It was fun. One thing that was very disappointing to see was someone left their grill on in the Miami Dolphins tailgate, and leaving the grill on ended up leaving a bunch of cars on fire. Very disappointing to see that news and whatnot. And actually, like, see a video of it happening and, like, a video of the aftermath is very sad. So, I don't think anybody got hurt, but, I feel bad for anybody who was driving any of those cars and, has to end up getting a new one. How do you explain that to the insurance company? Oh, yeah, some dumbass left their grill on at a Miami Dolphins parking lot tailgate. Like, unreal. Imagine if you, like, had a rental car. Or if you're driving from, like, out of state to see this game. Like, it's a damn shame. Okay, I will move on to the next segment with my week 2 predictions. So, we'll be back, guys. Welcome back, guys, to the Vincent Moreland Show, More Land, More Sports. Now, for this segment, this will be the last segment. I will be going over my week 2 predictions for the NFL. I will provide over-under odds and the spread for each of these games and kind of give you my opinion on them while making my predictions straight up. So you have the Chargers and the Chiefs. Chiefs are 4.5-point favorites. Over-under is 54.5. I think the Chiefs win this game, and I think this game's going over. I think this will kind of be similar to last year's game where Mahomes gets well into, like, 400 yards. But Justin Herbert will get over 300 yards as well. I see a lot of high-flying. I see a lot of offense. I see a lot of touchdowns in this game. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs on this one. I think this game will be a 38-31 game. And I think the Chiefs will win this game in their home opener. The Buccaneers are visiting the Saints. It seems like Tom Brady cannot beat the Saints. He's 1-4 against them since he's joined the NFC East. So, and that one win was a playoff win. So, but in the regular season, he has lost to them every time. And I keep picking against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers when they play the Saints, and I keep getting it wrong, but I'm going to keep on doing it. I think the Buccaneers win this game. Over-under is 44. I think that game will go over. I think both offenses will be forced to score. I can't wait to see Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore go at it again. That might be my favorite corner wide receiver rivalry in the NFL. Those guys do not like each other. And I can't imagine if those guys are ever on the same team. If they ever are, practice will be interesting. But I'm going to take the Buccaneers on this one. I can see this game being like a 30-24 type of game. I think it'll be that high scoring. Steelers and Patriots, that's an ugly game. I hate watching these two teams play against each other. For some reason, I'm just never entertained. I hate watching the Patriots. like, out of all teams in the AFC, they're my least favorite team to watch. They're just so freaking boring, man. They've always been boring, especially when Brady was there. They were just so freaking boring and annoying to watch. And, like, the way they won, it's like they're, like, just fundamentals. Like, they didn't make any mistakes. They don't commit stupid penalties. But now I'm glad they're not that dominating team like they used to be. And then the Steelers are only a one-point underdog. I honestly think they should be favorites in this game, considering they just beat Cincinnati last week and New England lost in Miami the other week. So this is the Steelers' home opener, not at Heinz Field, but at Acrisure, I believe it's called. A-C-R-I-S-U-R-E. I'm not so Acrisure about that, but over-under is 40. I think that game can go slightly over. That's kind of a trap under, because it's like, dang, like, you would expect like two NFL teams to score at least 20 points together. Nope, you never know. I think the Steelers will win this one straight up. And I think they'll win by a final score. You know what? We'll probably keep it at that over-under at exactly. I'll go 23-17 here. Next, the New York Jets are playing against the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns win this game. And I think they'll cover the six spread. I think when I was at Live earlier in FanDuel, you know, it was at 5.5, but I guess they bumped it up to 6. You know, I think given that the Browns are at home, you know, they have Nick Chubb, Brissett, you know, he did somewhat well against Carolina last week. And the Jets, they just don't really seem to be that good. So it's like, if they can't perform that well at home, you know, how do you expect them to perform well on the road? Now they did do a good job at stopping the Ravens run last week, but right now the Browns have a better rushing attack, with Nick Chubb and, Kareem Hunt back there. So, I expect the Browns to come out on top in this game. I can see this being a final of like 24-17. The Carolina Panthers are playing against the New York Giants, two teams that I'm not really a big fan of watching. Two quarterbacks that are really unsure after they were drafted so high. You know, Baker was the number one overall pick. You know, he's on this first team, or first year of the new team. You had Daniel Jones, who could be on his last year with this first team, the New York Football Giants. He's been drafted for a few years ago, and hasn't really panned out the way people wanted him to be after Eli left. But I think the Giants will pull this one off. I think they'll cover the 2.5-point spread. The 43, that's a pretty good over-under. I can see that game going under. And then that could be very close to the over. But I'll go with the Giants on this one. I'm gonna go 23-20 for this one. The Miami Dolphins are going to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm actually really nervous about this game. I'm really scared of what the Giants or of what the Dolphins offense is going to bring to the table. I can see Tyreek and Jalen Waddle each going over 100 yards, especially with Kyle Fuller being out for the rest of the year. And we're not so sure if Marcus Peters is going to be available or not. And if he's not available, Marlon Humphrey is going to be in a lot of trouble. Vinny Serrato said it earlier on 105.7 The Fan that the biggest key in this game is being able to tackle, because those guys are there's a lot of yak guys on that team. When I say yak, I mean yards after the catch. And you saw what Waddle did when those Patriots could not tackle him. And he got a really, really big, like, yak touchdown when he should have been tackled. And, you know, when Tyreek's in the open field, you're not getting him. I'm sorry. You have to be a really elite defensive back to be able to get him in the open field when you're one-on-one with him. With that being said, I still think the Ravens will win. I'm very nervous, though. 3.5's a little bit tough. If I were to alter the line, I'd probably switch it to maybe 2.5. But I think the Ravens will win this game. But I would not be surprised at all if Miami won. Over-under is 44.5. I can see that game going over. I think the Dolphins didn't really play a good offense last week, and I think they'll run into a much better offense. But same thing with the Ravens. They didn't really run into the best offense. They ran into a good offense. They just didn't really run into a good quarterback in Joe Flacco. You know, you put a better quarterback on that Jets team, and I think they can be an instant contender. But nonetheless, I'm going to go with the Ravens here. I'm going to go with a final score of 27 to 23. It'll be really close. The Colts play the Jaguars. The last time these two teams played each other, the Colts had a chance to make the playoffs. All they had to do was beat the worst team in the NFL that they get to play twice a year. They get to play two bottom four teams, two bottom five teams, and you didn't make the playoffs. You have to play two bottom five teams twice, and you can't make the playoffs. You didn't even have a first place schedule because you didn't win a division that year, the year before. Titans did. But hey, you know, it is what it is. I think the Colts win this game against Jacksonville. -4, I like that. This time, the last time they played, it was like -12.5. And the freaking Colts didn't have a chance to win that game. When you look at the final score and the way that game was going, it was not going well if you had money on the Colts. I sure did. But give me the Colts on this one. I can see this game falling around. I'm going to go 23-17 as well. I think that game can go under. I think their defense will step it up this time around against the Jaguars. Commanders play the Lions. I think the Lions will win this game. Lions are favored at 2.5. When I was at live for FanDuel Sportsbook, it was at 1.5. Again, I'm looking at DraftKings Sportsbook on my phone. I think the Lions have better weapons. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. I kept telling people to draft him. When he kept falling to my lap, I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. DeAndre Swift and Antonio Gibson. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown. I won't say he's better than Terry McLaurin, but if he keeps playing the way he does, he can very much be just as good, if not better than him. I do give credit to Jahan Dotson for having 2 touchdowns in his rookie, debut. But you got DJ Chark out there. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, the number one and number two overall picks, will be playing against each other, and they're playing for teams that they didn't get drafted by. Oh my God, what a crazy way. What a crazy turn of events. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Lions on this one. Over-under is 49.5. I'm not really too surprised considering like both offenses did pretty well. But I think a lot of that has to deal with like how much better Detroit's offense has gotten. And, both defenses aren't really all that good. So I'm going to give it to the Lions here. I'm going to go... You know, we'll go 27-23. We'll go with that. Rams and Falcons. Rams are double-digit favorites. 1 of 3 double-digit favorites this weekend. Actually, 4 or 5. Wow. These lines are changing for sure. Now that more people are betting. But yeah, the Rams are 10.5-point favorites against the Falcons. I don't know if they'll cover that. But I do think they'll win for sure. The money line for them to win is -540. Not worth it. I think the Rams will win this game. I think they're going to be pissed off that they lost the way they did last week to the Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to take their frustrations out on the Atlanta Falcons this week. So I can see the Rams winning this one. I'm going to go 30-20. I think the Falcons can score some points this week. I'm going to go 30-20. The 49ers play the Seahawks. They're 10-point favorites. I think Vegas is just trying to trap people again. The way the 49ers played against the Bears really pissed me off. Granted, the rain was really bad, so we'll see what happens with the rain and whatnot. How the weather will be in San Francisco or Santa Clara. It should be fine. Seattle, they did really well, but they need to bring out the same energy this week like they did their previous week if they want to compete in games this year. But I'm still going to take the 49ers on this one. You know, it's a week-to-week league. You can't base last week and just assume that a team's going to be better than that team. Sometimes you just had a better matchup. Sometimes you were just more motivated that day. So I think the 49ers will win this one. I can see this being a final score. I'm going to go... I'll go 24-17 here. I think it'd be very low scoring. The Bengals play the Cowboys. Bengals are 8.5-point favorites. They probably wouldn't be favored by that much if Dak Prescott was playing this Sunday, but he's not. The Bengals will be, they will have Burrow. I don't know if they'll be having T. Higgins or not. We'll have to figure that out. But either way, I think they should be fine without him, as the Cowboys have a lot more injuries and concerns to deal with. So give me the Bengals on this one. I took them at 7.5 earlier. The line went up a full point. It's a huge difference. So yeah, give me the Bengals on this one. I think they can win this one. I think they'll win this score by a 27-17. Houston's visiting Denver. I'm very disappointed in Denver, the way they performed against Seattle. What a joke. And then Houston, I can't believe not only did they cover, but they tied with Indianapolis. I'm going to take the Broncos on this one. Something that both of these teams have in common is that Brock Osweiler played for both of them. Fun fact. So you have Russell Wilson against Davis Mills, excuse me. I mean, I guess you can't be surprised if the Broncos end up losing this game, but you know, if they lose this game, you can kiss that AFC West goodbye. Broncos, I think the Broncos will win this game. I can see the final being, you know, we'll go 27-16 here. Cardinals play the Raiders. The Cardinals are playing their second straight AFC West opponent. You know, they kind of got the paddle in school against the Kansas City Chiefs the previous week on their home turf. Shout out to Hollywood Brown for scoring his first Arizona touchdown. He's gonna have the best year of his career this year. But the Las Vegas Raiders with Devontae Adams and Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro, you know, they're looking to bounce back from a week one loss to the Chargers, and I think they will. I think they'll win. I think they'll cover the spread of 6. I took them at 5.5 earlier. The over-under is 51.5. That game might go under. I'm not sure. I'll go to Raiders here. I'll go 27-23. You know what? You know, no. We'll go 30-23. Bears playing the Packers. I don't know why the hell they keep putting these teams in primetime games. They are so boring. Aaron Rodgers is, as for right now, he doesn't have any good receivers. No one that like makes you like raise your eyebrows for. He's got 2 rookie receivers that he's dealing with. He's dealing with old Sammy Watkins and old Randall Cobb. Chicago Bears are coming off a big win against San Francisco, a team that you know, was in the NFC Championship last year. So very impressive on their end. Granted, they played in very bad weather conditions, but hey, a win's a win. But I think the Packers will win this game, and you know, Aaron Rodgers is the owner and the player in this game, as he owns the Bears but plays for the Packers. I need him to bounce back this week for my fantasy team, too. So, give me the Packers on this one. Over-under is 42.5. Packers are 10-point favorites. I would not be surprised if the Bears cover, though. I'll give the Packers this game. We'll go 27-16 again. Titans play the Bills. I don't like that the Bills are -10. Over the Titans in primetime. You know, the last time I saw this, the Titans ended up winning, if I'm not mistaken. I get it. They lost to New York Giants, and then they could have won that game, but I don't know, man. It's like when you least expect it. Like, you know, I just hate double-digit spreads so much in football. It just sucks. But I think the Bills will win this game. I think they'll go 2-0 on the year. I'll probably be picking the Bills every game that they play this year, to be honest. I think they're winning the Super Bowl. Give me the Bills on this one. I don't know if I like that 10-point spread, though. But I'll give it to them. I'll go 27-20. Vikings play the Eagles. It's the Jalen Reagor Bowl. As he's going to be playing against his former team in Philadelphia. I would love for him to score a touchdown against his former team. Oh, could you imagine a boost that would come out in Philadelphia? 2.5-point spread, 50.5 over under. I think the Vikings won this game, though. I love the way they played against the Packers last week. And then Philly, you know, they played pretty well, but then they kind of took their foot off the gas and let Detroit get back into it. I just think the Vikings are slightly the better team, but this game can definitely go either way for sure.
So give me the Vikings on this one. I will go 27-23 Vikings. That's it. So yeah, on Monday night, there are two football games, the Titans and the Bills, and then the Vikings and the Eagles. So Monday night doubleheader, there will be a time where like both of them are on at the same time. So you have to figure out which one you have either a sports bet on or fantasy team, fantasy players. So that'll be interesting. But that's pretty much it for this episode. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. And I look forward to being back on. I think I'm going to have some guests. We might have Dylan Hollywood back. We might have Carwin Towns back. We might have Thomas Tyree or Jordan Offer back. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And, until next time, guys, have a good week.